It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we take a look at the stories that you'll find in the Lakeville Journal and Military News as well. And you'll also find John Costin and also Janet Manco. Good morning.
Good morning.
Janet?
No Janet? That's strange. I'm going to have to, we'll have to dial it again.
Oh, hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. That's not...
It's not Mercury retrograde. Do you want me to do something?
No, there's nothing we can do. That second line doesn't appear to be working. I don't know why. No. John, guess what? You're solo today.
Okay.
And then I'll figure out what's wrong with our second line. But obviously, there's something wrong with it.
Huh.
Want to try Purcell?
I can't. Well, I mean, you know, I can't. The second line, which ties us together, isn't working.
Oh, I get it.
So there's no way I can tie her in. Now, if she's listening and she wants to call and try to get in that way, but I think the line's dead, something with the phone company. If she wants to call 860-364-5141 and she's listening, we can try it that way. But I've got a feeling that line, too, on this special tie line is dead. So,
yeah. Should I put her on my cell phone on speaker?
No, that'll sound terrible.
Okay.
Not for lack of love, just for lack of sound.
We're going to run with you, John. And
good luck.
You're going to earn your extra pay today that you get from us.
Okay.
All right. We'll start off with the front page of the Lakeville Journal. You've got a story right at the top done by Deb Alexinas, a rural hospital's routine.
Yes. This is... taking a look at the a sort of day in the life at the hospital. As everybody knows, the hospital has been in the news for months, longer than that even, because of its application to close labor and delivery and to transform the intensive care unit into a different thing. So we decided to just look at what else goes on there, and you know, 100 people a day use the hospital for a whole variety of things. And the hospital has also put in place a number of, you know, enhancements that I'm not sure everybody was fully aware of, but we just decided that the notion of saving, sharing hospital is so urgent that we should sort of provide Exhibit A as to why that's important. And the story, you know, goes into... new services that are there and talks about what it's like on an average day, how many people go to this service, to that service. And also points out, really importantly, that you know, 65 out of 100 people are from New York State. So we keep thinking of Sharon Hospitals in Sharon, Connecticut, but I was at a Save Sharon Hospital event last night in Millerton, and there's a lot of concern over there as well, because they, you know, they use the hospital more than we do.
Well, you know what we've been trying to point out here, and you do this with the stories that you're pointing out, is that there's a difference. Save Sharon Hospital is basically a group that is in a tussle with New Vance Health, which operates Sharon Hospital. When we talk about Save Sharon Hospital, we're not talking about dedicated employees who work at the hospital, the programs they have at the hospital now, and the work they do at the hospital right now. You have to separate the two. This is a battle with New Vance Health, the operator of Sharon Hospital, not Sharon Hospital per se exactly. And there's a big difference there. There's a very big difference there, and I think a lot. I think you're successful, and I think all the media has been successful is in bringing this out to the people. And now it's up to the people really to make their voice heard, along with the politicians in Hartford.
Yes, there's an important public hearing coming up, and everybody who is discussing the urgency of this public hearing is trying to get the public to submit testimony or to join the Zoom call on October 18th.
All right. Right next to it, a very interesting story that I was talking with Bethany Sheffer about, and that is Sharon Audubon and Audubon itself, they hosted their first carbon capture panel.
Yes, this was up at Lion Rock Farm, and it drew, more than 100, 125 participants to discuss, carbon, connecting carbon, climate, and conservation. And it was a way to provide information about trends and corrective actions. Audubon hosted it, but it really was, attended well by nonprofits, including the Housatonic Valley Association and Great Mountain Forest. Eileen Fielding, the center director of it, Sharon Audubon, made a good point about what this means to, the excessive climate change means to birds, to bird life, and how many species we've lost over the last 20 years.
I think carbon capture is such a far better alternative, if it all can work out, than carbon swaps. Carbon swaps do nothing but make poor areas that can't fight pollution get more pollution, and companies leverage that off against by giving their carbon credits to other areas. I'm glad that they held this conference, and I'm kind of glad that it was right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on here, and this is becoming all too frequent in a lot of races, not only here but around. Maria Horn held a Zoom session. Why? Because the debate with her opponent fizzled. You see less and less of candidates willing to debate nowadays.
Well, in this case, the League of Women Voters and the Lakeville Journal were trying to organize a debate and had something pretty much tentatively set up, but it was difficult to get Chris DuPont lined up to join. It was just a matter of timing, and I can't really go into the extreme details of all of the organization behind it, but basically we just couldn't hold it, and so Maria decided that she would just have a Zoom call on that same evening, since her schedule was set up for it. So she did, and this story kind of goes through two or three issues that her constituents feel are important. I talked to Chris DuPont the next day, and he was in Florida. He had been evacuated from Fort Myers and was on his way back to the region. He plans as well to hold the same kind of Zoom meeting.
All right. A great story. We did an interview with Jennifer Nijak. Eddie Collins Memorial Park is just completed their first round of renovations that will actually have a couple more rounds where they wind up with a pool. But they had a party in the park day last weekend.
Yes, and I was over there for several hours, and it really exploded with a lot of recreation, basketball. There was a baseball game. People were crawling all over the newly renovated kiddie park. It was just a great day. Lots of food booths and music. Stephen Waite, who has dreamed about this park, where he played basketball himself as a child, was the chairman of the committee. But the event was a tremendous success, and it was capped by a grant of $125,000 towards the Little League field. When I was over there, I kept going up to people and families and talking to them, and I would come across almost one in four from Sharon or Lakeville. People go over there because it's a fabulous park.
So I was going to say, if you look around every town, has great excellent facilities. Sharon has always had excellent facilities in the Valley, with a major league size ballpark for regular baseball that is completely fenced in. There's the Lions Pavilion. There's bathrooms. There's a professional-sized, well-maintained soccer field. There is an incredible little league field that is there. There's a walking park around the whole thing. And now they are expanding the Eddie Collins Field into being more of a multi-use park, which is great. These little islands of green and in our communities are so welcome. And it's one of the things that help bring people and have people stay in our community and raise families.
Exactly. And you're right about the pool. Stephen Waite said that every survey they've done over there comes back down to the point that the families really want a pool, and it's going to be a fabulous pool. It'll be handicapped access, and it will have a kiddie pool, and that's in the next phase.
All right, let's move on here. The Connecticut legislator, they're considering calling a special session.
Yes, this is to consider whether to extend the Connecticut, gasoline tax holiday, as well as to discuss the underfunded bonus program for essential workers who were working during the pandemic. So this story talks about what is behind the effort to possibly consider a special session to deal with these things.
All right, and we are, and I hope they extend the gas tax holiday, especially with what OPEC did yesterday.
Yeah.
Tonight is a big night in Lakeville. Women support services once again in October. That's it's a domestic violence awareness month. They are having their annual vigil tonight, which will include a walk up to their brand new offices and some readings and things like that. That is happening tonight in Lakeville as well.
Yes, it begins at 6:30 at the community park right at the corner of 41 and 44. And they're going to, as you said, walk to the new offices up on Porter Street. So it includes readings of names of those who've lost their lives due to domestic violence, and some music and a poem. I think it's going to be pretty atmospheric as well, because I believe they carry candles.
Yep, it's a very moving event, and the weather's going to be perfect for it this evening, and the walk to their new headquarters is not bad at all, so it should be good. Now, an interesting story that is in the Our Town section by Lila Hawkett, and that is Sharon has set a town meeting on their partnering with Comcast so that every home and business in Sharon will have high-speed internet service. And before we start talking about this, John, this is the best plan I have seen put forward from any town. A lot of towns have just gone out and they've tried to form their own internet company. Well, Sharon's task force investigated that, found out they could do that, put it all together, worked very hard, and by them doing that and showing the real possibility, all of a sudden woke up Comcast, and it looks like we're on the edge of a deal that will benefit Comcast and benefit every person and business in Sharon.
Yes, and the next step is to have a town meeting, which is scheduled for October 28th, 6 o'clock. No location yet, but the idea there is to decide whether to spend $800,000 to support the first half of the $1.6 million cost of partnering with Comcast to expand the internet. One of the things that came out of the Zoom call with Maria Horn was that infrastructure, especially broadband infrastructure, is a very big red flag up here or an alarm bell up here in the northwest corner. So this is a fantastic thing. I can't, I know I drive all around to the towns and try to talk on the phone while I'm driving, and it doesn't work always because you go into these dead spots. But this is a big deal.
It's a big deal because it's going to set the path. I mean, Comcast is going to come up with half the money. The town's going to come up with half the money. If the town were to try to do it by themselves, it would be a minimum cost of $12 million, and it would take probably 2 years to put into operation. And I think if this plan goes through, it will set up now a blueprint for all the other towns in Northwest Connecticut to get on board so everybody has high-speed internet service. It's a very forward-thinking plan. And, you know, it wouldn't have come about without that Sharon Internet Task Force.
That's correct.
They just did a terrific job, and they worked real hard for a long time on that. You've got a picture there right there. The Haystack Book Festival, it's all about food, but the Haystack Book Festival was so expanded this year, and it is just a great event in Norfolk.
Yes, and pardon me, the events this past weekend were, they stretched out. Michael Solick, who is one of the co-chairs of the Haystack Book Festival, and he really was instrumental in getting it started a few years ago, hosted this one, and it was two best-selling New York Times food writers, Melissa Clark and Sam Sifton, who really talked about what it was like, how they got started in food, and it all goes back to childhood and families, the family dinner, and parents who are really focused on food. And it was really exciting to hear their sort of origins of their interest in food. And, of course, Melissa has written 20 books, and Sam equally has done a tremendous amount. But it was a fun event.
You've got a couple of stories also in our towns. First of all, in Salisbury, after working through the summer and doing more, the planning and zoning has now approved a zoning map for Salisbury.
Yes, this was a big effort on the part of the planning and zoning. And what really ended up happening was that a modernized map has been, you know, produced, and a lot of properties were really kind of included in multiple zones. So they cleaned that up to down from something like 300 properties to about 10. And this thing is now based on a geographic information system known as GIS. So it's going to make it easier for residents to sort of see where they are. So it was a big deal. It took a long time.
And on the other side of that, Dennis Hopper, Brooke Hayward in Kent with a story of 60s alliances.
Yeah, this is a fun story. It's a book written by Mark Razzo, who got started trying to do a story for Vanity Fair about the culture of the 60s, Dennis Hopper and Brooke Hayward. And Brooke, in doing the story, Mark Razzo connected with Marin Hayward, who is Brooke's daughter, and the mother lives up here in a country home in Litchfield. So he came up, and there's a history and memory with a lot of Brooke's input. And it's a real tour down, you know, the 60s era, Los Angeles in the 60s.
All right. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention, of course, the passing of Mary Kirby. The announcement of it is in the paper. They are calling hours at the Kenny Funeral Home. That is happening today from 4 to 7. The funeral will be at St. Bernard's Church in Sharon. That is tomorrow at 10 a.m. And, of course, as to when it was happening and announced, you'll have the full obituary in next week's journal. But the passing of literally one of, you know, one of the founding families of this town. With the passing of Mary Kirby. All right, well, let's move on here. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left, and we'll get back to Compass in a second. We're going to slide in, and we're going to go over to the editorial and opinion pages. And there it is in black and white in front of me. It doesn't matter whether it's the paper or not. The print is still black and white, whether it's on the internet or not. Sharon Hospital's Dilemma is part of the lengthy editorial.
Yes, this is, of course, as the editor of the paper, the opinion I am on the other side of the wall, so I don't really indulge in writing editorials. This was written by the editorial board, and this is a an explanation or examination of the dilemma facing Sharon Hospital. It's a complicated situation running a rural business in a region like this, and it's worth reading as a good explanation of the puzzle facing Sharon Hospital.
You know,
and state legislators.
Yeah, but along with your editorial, there's some interesting letters to the editor by a couple of different people. One, hospital needs to uphold principles, and the other one, Sharon Hospital's future in question. The Sharon Hospital is not only a driver of healthcare and a driver of if we don't have the hospital, a full-service hospital, you're not going to have as many personal physicians, which we're already experiencing a shortage there. But it's also a huge economic driver in our area. So this is a need. John, I don't know how long you've been around here, but for the past 20 years, this has been the 600-pound gorilla that every once in a while keeps popping up in our future.
Yes, and both these letters, and I'm sure more to come, address exactly what you're talking about. I mean, Sharon Hospital is one of three hospitals in the state with a 5-star rating. There's just no question that it's a vital piece of our a life up here, and people turn to it and they get good outcomes. It has a very high success rate. So letters, everybody wants this hospital to stay here, and what I think this whole page really sort of focuses on is the complexity of how to do that.
All right, and of course, you in your letters to the editor, yeah, we're in that time of year again. Political letters, which are not only on page one of that, but also on page two as well, and you have also your viewpoint pages, Sovereign State by Lonnie Carter, and more, and that this is all in the editorial and opinion stage of the Lakeville Journal.
Right.
Very quick, let's take a look at some of the things that are encompassed, because, we're not dead yet here. Summer's still going.
Right. Well, this is the debut Compass Arts and Entertainment by Alexander Wilburn, who has been on the staff here for, a long time. And he's a young man who has done a brilliant job starting off here with his first Compass. He is now the editor of Compass. And he starts off with a piece on black theater in a white town, A Raisin in the Sun, which is a staple American stage production, will be produced up here. And he sort of discusses what it's like, to forge a space like this in a community that is unlike Raisin in the Sun. He also takes a different look at a calendar and has written essentially precis of events coming up, Jeff Wallace, People and Places in Cape Cod, Power Booth, Everything Trembles, a look at a few other things, even Carrie, the musical, Carrie being the scary one. So Rosemary's Baby, maybe these are in the mood of Halloween, but Rosemary's Baby is also, mentioned in his calendar, coming at the Movie House in Millerton on October 8th. So that's kudos to Alex for kicking off a really well-done first Compass.
And kudos to you, John, for handling it solo.
All right, yeah, let's hope Janet's back next week.
Oh,
yeah.
She will be. She had called in along the way.
What I think we're going to do is I'm going to set up Zoom sessions from now on where you guys can contact us from your individual places and over the Internet, and that way we won't have to worry about the phone company crapping out on us.
Which is probably not a bad idea under the circus.
All right, John, we'll speak to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find them, of course, at tricornernews.com, tricornernews.com.